Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
I'm trying to decide if I should allow pets in my rentals. I have done it before, and it worked out great. I didn't have any problems, but I've heard a lot of horror stories about landlords allowing pets and the pets doing thousands of dollars in damages to the property, and I'm not 100% sure that I would do it again. So on the show today, I'm going to bring on two different guests that have two completely different views on this topic. I want to listen to what they have to say, and then at the end of the show, I'm going to decide what I'm going to do. So let's take a real quick break. We'll get a word in from our sponsor. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll meet our first landlord.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com/guide.
All right, our first landlord is Corey Binsfield. Corey was on episode 104, and we talked about how he set a goal to buy 10 duplexes in 10 years, and he did it. Corey, welcome back to the show.
How you doing, Dan?
Awesome. Doing good. So you allow pets in your rentals. Do you have any kind of limits on pets that you'll accept, or are you fine with any pet coming in your property?
No, I definitely have conditions based upon my pet policy, as well as my experiences with all kinds of pets, from dogs, cats, to iguanas, rabbits, and ferrets, as well as I forgot what that thing was called. I think it was called a chinchawa or chinchilla, but it's some kind of like, I don't know, like a giant gerbil.
Okay. I guess a lot of people that don't want to allow pets in their rentals, that they think that the pets are going to tear properties apart. Do you find that that's true, that animals will tear your property apart, or you're going to have more abuse to your properties?
Yeah, it's really tough because it's hard to tell because typically pet issues are a result of owner issues. And so it's kind of a crapshoot, you know, when you're first meeting someone to rent your place. So what I've done is set up some certain screening criteria on like which pets I allow, as well as try to get as much background information I can on the person in terms of like prior landlord references, which typically means the landlord that they're leaving that unit will probably give them a great reference if they're trying to get rid of them. But the landlord that's before that one, let's just say from, let's, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, that's going to be your golden one. Because if they had the pet with that landlord and there's issues, then they're going to pretty much tell it like it is.
Okay. So if that person maybe had a different dog, do you find that maybe a lot of times it's the owner that's maybe not a good owner more
Definitely.
Than it is the animal? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Now, what about dogs eating walls or tearing up carpet? Like, do you find that that happens a lot, that you're having to spend more money when they move out?
It doesn't. I mean, in my case, it hasn't happened a lot, but I did have an incident where I'm constantly evolving with my pet policy. So I did have a pit bull and a young kid, which you could tell this is back when I was a new landlord. But the pit bull pretty much destroyed all the molding, destroyed all the carpet. And I think the real issue wasn't the pit bull itself, but it was just a young kid with, this is my cool pit bull dog, look at me. And he didn't understand what it's like to have an animal. It's basically like having a kid. It's huge responsibility.
Sure.
So as a result of that, I decided to change my policy. Now I don't allow any pit bulls. Or some people try to sneak in this term called American Staffordshire Terrier, and I'll say, "Oh, so you have a pit bull?" And like, well, no, it's an American Strat, and I'm like, "No, that's actually a pit bull, and that's not in our policy." But you do have to be careful because now with fair housing, you do have to allow what's called a service animal or a companion animal or an emotional support animal, and that gets a little tricky now because some people are going out on the internet and getting a letter from a doctor, let's say out in California, that says this person needs this animal when it's totally not legit. They probably paid like $50
right,
to get this bogus certificate.
But once they have that, there's nothing you can do, right?
No, you can't charge a pet fee. You can't charge an extra deposit. It's basically considered a disability.
Okay. That's a great thing to be aware of because that you can get in a lot of trouble if you don't know about that or you turn someone down that has a service animal. Now, you mentioned pet fees. How much do you charge for?
So I charge just on the rent, I'll charge $25 a month, or they have the option of paying $250 upfront once they sign the lease.
Okay. So they get a little bit of a break if they pay you upfront. Now,
one thing I've noticed with that fee is I like to say that 80% of pets and pet owners are awesome, but it's the other 20% you hear the horror stories from. You know, it's kind of like the old Pareto principle.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of allowing pets, I'm able to bring in, let's say, probably $4,000 or $5,000 a year in extra pet fees. And I view that as being like I'm self-insured so that, okay, every year I'm going to have at least one major pet incident. If I collect $5,000 in fees, I might have $2,000 in damages. So I'm about $3,000 ahead for the year.
Okay. So overall, it's a profit center taking pets. Okay.
Yep.
Now, what about places renting faster? A lot of landlords won't accept pets. So if you have a pet, you've got a smaller pool of properties to pick from. Do your places rent faster because you take animals?
Definitely. I get a lot of people that call and say, you know, I can't find a place that allows pets. Do you allow pets? And those people actually, I find because they own a pet, like the good tenants, you know, that really take care of their pets actually tend to be better renters than people without pets.
Now, they also say that pet owners stay longer than non-pet owners. Is that true? Have you seen that?
You know what? That'd be a tough one to determine. I think intuitively it would make sense because if they're going to have so much trouble finding a place that allows pets that once they find one, they're going to stick around unless they're forced to move, let's say, because of a job transfer.
Right.
Or something.
Okay. Now, you own a lot of duplexes. Do you ever have problems with the shared backyard that maybe one of your tenants doesn't like animals? That happens a lot.
My biggest pet peeve is with, let's say, a duplex, and there's a pet owner there, and they're not picking up the dog poop. Mm-hmm. And so then the lower, tenants complains, like, the backyard's full of dog poop, and so they have to go in there and be kind of heavy-handed and say, hey, if you don't start picking up this pet poop, then I'm removing you and the pet.
So. Okay, that's good. Have you ever lost?
Or you get, of course, the neighborly things, like, if you got hardwood floors, you don't want to allow a really large dog that's clicking away on the hardwood floors with their nails.
Yeah. So. Have you ever lost a tenant on the other side because of whatever pet issue they were having with the other tenant?
No, I've never lost one. I mean, the closest I came was like a dog that was incessantly barking. But then fortunately, the tenant was able to come up with a solution, which technically wasn't a bark collar. It was some kind of like thing they put on them. I don't know if it's like citronella spray or something, but it actually, the dog quit barking after like 1 or 2 days. Okay. They found something online that was pretty cool.
Okay. So overall, you would say that renting to pet owners has been a good experience. So you haven't had too many bad things happen and you make some extra money doing it.
Definitely. Otherwise, I mean, clearly I wouldn't allow any pets. Right. I had a terrible experience, but I think it just goes with then being a landlord. You're going to get some great pet owners. And then if you have a lot of units, there's always going to be one pet owner that will just drive you crazy. But you just got to say, you know what? It's the cost of doing business.
Corey writes a really good real estate blog. If you want to check it out, it's 102million.com. I'm going to go ahead and put a link to that on the show notes page. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode114. Coming up next, we're going to meet another landlord that has a completely different take on renting to pet owners. We're going to take a quick break, get a word in from Realty Shares. We'll come back and we will meet our next landlord.
Not an offering of securities. Private investments are highly illiquid and risky and are not suitable for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Securities offered to accredited investors through North Capital Private Securities. Member FINRA SIPC.
I want to thank Realty Shares for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. That's Realty Shares, R-E-A-L-T-Y shares.com. If you're not familiar with Realty Shares, they're basically a crowdfunding site for real estate investments. So you can invest fractionally in a bigger real estate deal. So a bunch of people put in a small amount of money, they pool it together, and then they're able to make some bigger investments. It's really super easy. I love logging on their website. I'm actually on here right now. You can scroll through, you can see all of the available investments. If something looks good, you can click on it. They've got detailed due diligence you can read. You can check out some more pictures. You can read management team bios, check out the financials. Basically, everything that you're going to need to be able to tell if this is a good investment is going to be right there at your fingertips. It's really simple to get started. Just go to realtyshares.com. You can sign up. It's totally free. You can start browsing investments. And when you're ready to go, when you're ready to make an investment, you can get started with as little as $5,000. Now, Realty Shares has a special offer just for our listeners. If you go to realtyshares.com/rental, that's realtyshares.com/rental, you can get $100 towards your first investment. Close to 100,000 investors have used Realty Shares, and they've returned over $60 million in principal. It's totally free to sign up, realtyshares.com/rental, and get $100 towards your first investment, realtyshares.com/rental. All right, let's get back to the show. Joining us next is Larry Meyer. Larry does not like renting to people with pets. He's been on the show twice before. He was on episode number 19. He talked about how he rents to Section 8 tenants and low-income tenants. And he came back on episode 80 to talk about his process for turning over his rentals. And he's back today to tell us why he won't rent to people with pets. So, Larry, have you ever rented to people with pets?
In the very beginning, I mean, this is year 33 for me. So in the very beginning, when I was young and foolish, someone had a dog. I love dogs. Someone had a dog. Sure. You'd charge a pet deposit and you'd, and give them a lecture on, you know, no pooping on the carpet and whatnot. And it never worked. It never worked out well. So I learned at a very young age that we don't take animals at all.
Did you find there were certain animals that were worse than others, or are all animals bad?
Well, I mean, obviously goldfish are fine and you know, parakeets are okay. but I'm deathly allergic to cats. So, just so that in itself is a no-no, because then I can't ever go in the house. Mm-hmm. And dogs, nobody gets a dachshund anymore. So they're usually larger dogs and which means the backyard is completely a mess. In the wintertime, they're left down the basement. So there's, dog poop everywhere. And your pet deposit just doesn't cover the damage that you have to clean up.
How much damage would you say a pet would cause? Kind of a general ballpark on how much it would cost you to fix the property up when they moved out.
Damage is going to be, even if you just have to, I've had like entry doors from, coming in from the garage to the, or a sliding glass door, going out from the living room to the backyard and the glass is scratched, the walls are scratched from the dog scratching on the door. Even have to replace a door, for a guy to come in and replace the door, paint it and fix the drywall and whatnot, you're probably $300 or $400 or $500. So, that pet deposit is going to go quick. Mm-hmm. And then if there's carpet, they go to work and it's wintertime out, can't leave Fido out when it's, when it's 10 degrees outside. So dog stays inside, dog eats, dog drinks, dog poops. Mm-hmm. So, and that's in the pad. How much does it cost to replace the carpet in the entire house and then get rid of the smell?
Right.
Usually there's hardwood floors underneath the padding. And if it's bad enough, then the hardwood floors are damaged. So you can never use them again. They turn black or they start warping. So it's a real, there's a pneumonia smell that it's just a real, it's not worth it. It's
right.
Just not worth it.
So you're talking thousands of dollars to turn over a property.
It could be, we've had houses where people moved out in where they had a dog and they weren't supposed to. And when I find out, I just terminate the lease. But there's, yeah, I mean, when you have to start taking out the entire carpet and doors and they'll put a pet door, a doggy door, that wasn't supposed to be there. So now you've got to, it adds up real quick.
Yeah. That's a great point about tenants sneaking a dog in. How would you find out that they had an animal?
Well, you find out when the power and light company goes to turn the lights on, and the meter's usually in the backyard, and he they ask, are there any dogs back there? No, they don't have a dog.
Right.
And when they go back to back there, and this Rottweiler comes chasing after him, which has happened before, then you got a real problem on your hands. Or maintenance guy goes over to make some repairs, and a German Shepherd comes flying out of the under the deck from the front yard, and so that's how you find out.
Right.
When you send somebody over to do something, or the neighbor starts complaining that your neighbor's dog took out after my child, we're going to sue you.
Right.
I didn't know he had a dog. So.
Right. Okay. Now, how about getting rid of the pet smell? How do you do that? How do you get the smell out of the property?
Boy, it's really tough, and cats are worse. You have to pull the carpet up completely. If it's a hardwood floor, sometimes the stains are in the hardwood, and it's bleach. I mean, it's bleach. It's there's lots of products on the market, but they're all bleach related. So it's a real labor intensive. And sometimes that smell doesn't go away for quite some time. Even once you paint the house and you bleach the floors, it's still, especially with cats. Cats just seem to have a horrible odor that just doesn't go away.
Right. Now, let me ask you about some of the positives that people say, and reasons why they love to rent to people with pets, is that they say that pet owners stay longer. Is that true?
I don't know about that, but the other side of the coin is where you've got a single female, either younger or usually it's older, and they said and their application is wonderful and everything looks great, they're the perfect tenant, and they said now I understand that your policy is that you don't take pets, I have a 15-year-old dachshund that I just won't move in if I can't bring him. Okay. So everything has an asterisk next to it, and everything is a case by case basis. And if you go back and, was there the landlord previous? No, the dog never caused any problems. Place was immaculate. Then okay. So it just sometimes it's a case by case basis, but as a rule of thumb, we don't.
Okay.
Just because I've not had good luck.
How about when you were looking for tenants, when you were advertising a property, did you find that you got a lot more applicants and that you were able to rent properties quicker? Like, I guess on the flip side, does it take you longer to rent properties not taking pets?
Yeah, because you'll get a lot, even though you say no pets. I mean, on your Craigslist ad or wherever you're advertising, you give the bullet points of what you're doing. And I always put no pets in big letters, no pets. And people will always call and say, well, this is what I've got. Would you make an exception? And I said, okay, but if they come as well, we've got three German Shepherds, but we've never had any problems with them. Make an exception? No.
Okay.
We've got a Chihuahua, that stays in a crate all day long. Yeah. We'll take a look at that. So, but for the most part, no.
Okay.
And does it? Yeah. It might take a little longer, but it's worth it not to have to put up with them.
So bottom line, even with charging an extra pet rent and charging a deposit, it's just not worth it. Like you weren't able to actually make more money. It actually cost you money at the end of the day.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't. It just doesn't. You can't. Things are going to wear out. Carpet's going to. I mean, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's hard enough when just having, just regular tenants and little kids and their little kids, and things get spilled and little kids throw up on the carpet. I mean, it's hard enough to keep things, just with people living there. I mean, you get, animals in there, it just doesn't work.
Larry, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your experience. I really appreciate it. And I am ready now to make a decision on whether I'm going to allow pets in my rentals. I think Larry and Corey both had really good points. And I think that I'm going to fall somewhere in the middle. I think I would rather not rent to people with pets, but I'm willing to take a chance. So I'll give you an example. If I had two applicants apply, they're both exactly the same. One has a pet, the other one doesn't have a pet. I think I'm going to go with the one that doesn't have a pet. It just seems a little bit less risky. On the other hand, if I had a property that's sitting empty for maybe 3 weeks or a month, and I'm not getting a ton of interest on it, I think I would be open to considering a pet at that point, but I would definitely get a pet reference. I think Corey had a really good point that the problem a lot of times isn't the tenant, or it isn't the pet, it's the tenant. So I think I would call the previous landlord, even two landlords back, and see how the pet was, to see if they had caused any damage. And if the previous landlord had a problem with the pet, I don't think I would rent to the person. So I think I'm going to screen that pet and that owner really carefully. So I'm open to it, but I would rather not rent to pet owners. So thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I hope this show was helpful to you. If you want to reach out to Corey or Larry, I've got their contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode114. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.